Wow.
Yes, wow would be how we would describe it. I mean, you know, I'm only going to have a real special guest tonight. So in honor of him, we'll start with this. Now, when you talk about history and you talk about great football players, Don Narciso, I'm going to torture him now. This is where Don gets tortured, and he's stuck listening to this show right now, and he'll probably slap me upside the head if I would have told him I was going to play this. Don, I'm going to play 8 minutes and 32 seconds of your greatness. I tried as hard as I could, in my own words, describing the history of such a great player as Don Narciso, a player that played fortunately for the Riders, a franchise that is I don't think there's and you've heard it on the show. I'm an Argo fan, but you've heard me talk about the Saskatchewan Rider fans. They are the wildest, the most fun to watch, crazy fans there could possibly be. So, Don, I apologize, but you're going to have to sit through 8 minutes and 32 seconds of "This Is Your Life, Mr. Narciso."
Donald Narciso was born in February of 1965 in Port Arthur, children born to Dorothy and Paul Narciso. Port Arthur is a city filled with warm, friendly people and embodies the American dream of success through hard work, exuberant living, and a devotion to family and community. In fact, the credo of the Narciso family, passed on by Don's parents, was that hard work pays off. And this credo pushed Don to greater heights, as all Rough Rider fans know. Don attended Booker T. Washington Elementary School, where he played the trumpet. While at Woodrow Wilson School, Don's aspirations switched from playing trumpet to playing football. Dorothy Narciso was initially apprehensive about Don playing football because he suffered from the respiratory problems caused by his asthma. Don quickly turned around Dorothy's concerns. Don went on to high school at Port Arthur Lincoln High, excelling academically and athletically. He was a member of the National Honor Society and the football team, achieving status as an all-district receiver and the most valuable player. From high school, he attended Texas Southern University on a football scholarship, receiving many accolades. In his senior season, Don caught 88 passes for 1,074 yards, winning the NCAA Division I AA receiving crown. He was named first NCAA Division I All-American and was named to the All-Southwest Conference team. He was named Sheridan All-Black All-American and played in the Freedom Bowl in Washington, D.C. under legendary coach Eddie Robinson. Don Narcisse joined the Rough Riders on September the 1st, 1987, following a free agent tryout with the NFL's St. Louis Cardinals. During his 13-year, 216-game career with the Riders, here are but some of his accomplishments. His 75 touchdowns are number 3 all-time as a Rough Rider and number 2 for pass-receiving touchdowns. He is the all-time Rider reception leader with 919 catches. He is number 2 in receiving yardage with 12,366. He is the Rider's all-time single-season leader with 123 catches in one season. He is the all-time Rider leader with 15 catches in one game. He was the Rider nominee as the most outstanding player in 1995. Don was the Rider's top receiver in 1989, 95, and 1998. He is the only three-time winner of the Molson Cup for most popular player as voted on by the fans. He had 8 1,000-yard seasons and 34 100-yard games. He even had 24 regular season tackles and was 2 for 2 in passing with one touchdown pass. And he played in 2 Grey Cups in 1989 and 97, being proudly part of the 89 Grey Cup championship team. He also had a great impact at the league level. He led the CFL in receptions in 1995 with 123. He led the Western Conference in receptions twice. He holds a pro football record with at least one catch in every one of his 216 games. He became the first CFL player to reach 900 regular season catches. He became the CFL's all-time leading receiver in 1998. He holds the CFL record for 11 seasons with pass receptions in all games. And he was a 5-time Division All-Star and 4-time CFL All-Star. Following his retirement from the CFL in 2000, Don returned to his native Texas. He currently resides in Pearland, Texas, where he is employed as a mortgage broker with a company owned by former Stampeder Brian Wigan. Don and his wife, Cassandra, are proud parents to 3 children, Donald Jr., Chelsea, and Serena.
A couple of things about Donnie that I remember really well is his work ethic. The guy never stopped running the entire time through practice, and the way that his work ethic really rubbed off on everybody else is what made us a better team.
Truly, in all honesty, I thought Don Narcisse was a fabulous football player. He truly was. He didn't get the exposure sometimes or the notoriety that he probably deserved, but he was a very professional player. He was a very smart player. He was a very dependable player. He was a very durable player. You know, I don't think he hardly missed any games. He had a great set of hands. He always ran the right routes. I mean, he was just really a pleasure to play with on one side of the ball. And, you know, as a slot back, that's real important. I mean, we had a lot of good receivers in the time that I was in Saskatchewan. And when Don got there and solidified that one spot, it just kind of changed everything for everybody. He really, in my opinion, was a lot like I was. He went about his business. He, you know, when it was time to play, he was a player. And, you know, as far as a personal relationship goes, to me, that was issue number one. There's lots of good guys and character guys and people that you like to hang around with that are not as professional. And so when you're teammates, I think that's number one issue. So I hold him in very high regard.
The core guys were obviously Jeff and Ray and Marco on the outside. We kind of went through several wide receivers on the other side. But as a young quarterback that really didn't know much about the game, that had to go out there and call his own plays right from the beginning, it made my job a lot easier to have players around me that had experience.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Don Narcisse and his great career is his durability. Never one of the biggest receivers to play in the Canadian Football League, but he certainly was one of the toughest and one of the most consistent over time. 8 times in his illustrious career, he had over 1,000 yards receiving, 7 of those in a row. And maybe what's most impressive about his career was played in 216 games, all with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and in every one of those games, he had at least one catch.
And looking. Oh! Oh, and what a catch by Donald Narcisse.
Oh, boy!
He's the man. And he has 830. One shy of having it all by himself. And there it is. Green and white, Donald Narcisse.
I think he was the best ever in the CFL, was catching the ball on the sidelines. There were times where you'd swear he was out of bounds, and you'd go back and look at the film, and he'd have one toe inbounds. He had an uncanny knack of knowing where the sidelines, plus 40-inch arms helped too. I think in all the years that I dealt with Don, I only remember he and I yelling at each other one time, and that lasted about 30 seconds. Then he came back in the office and sat down. We did the contract. So not only was it important to have Don playing football on the field for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but it was equally as important, Don Narcisse off the field. He brought a lot of fans to Tater Field, some of them to see that goofy dance, but he brought a lot of people there.
He was so consistent and such a stabilizing factor out there. I mean, you got to really scratch your head. I don't think I can ever remember him missing a game. It was an incredible number of games he played and the hits he took, and he was always out there, a stabilizing factor and a real role player for this team, a key role player.
He epitomized the definition of a professional football player. It didn't matter if the team was winning, losing, whatever. He gave his all, game in and game out, and you can't ask for any more from any player in this league or any league. When you're losing, it is tough to put out the way he put out, but he was always there when they needed him.
My best memories in playing for Saskatchewan Roughriders, got to say, I enjoy just playing for the fans. It's like I always owed them. I always owed them something.
Yes, and he played with no debt. In fact, I did a lot of research on this young man. I say young because he's younger than I am, yet he's retired. I should take a hint from him. Having said that, the biggest thing I gathered from my investigation of this great athlete was that he had trumpet training, which I'm sure helped him, do that taps toe the sideline thing that he did. You know, tap toe to the sideline? You didn't get that, huh? Well, how about he did the best tap stances in the end zone? Yes, it helped him a lot. A lot of people remember his ritual, his touchdown ritual. It's still today one of the finest to watch. And, of course, a big heart he has had for many years now since retirement. He's always been around to help young kids. We'll talk about that as well. And I guess when Don Narcisse wraps his arms around you, he wraps his arms around you. Those 40-inch arms are very huggable. Mr. Narcisse, it is a pleasure to have you here on Candid Frank Live, and I hope you enjoyed that little retrospective.
Hey, you know what, man? You had me all geeked up. You had the Rider song. You got me going right now, man, and then you played this video. This video, man, means so much to me, man, because, you know, my parents has passed away, but I tell you what, man, when they got a chance to see this video, it was just unbelievable. And, it brought back a lot of memories, man. And I got a chance to play for Saskatchewan for 13 years. There's a lot of things that came my way. And I just want to give you one quote before we get to talking. But I want to give one quote for everybody. When you put a date on your dream, it becomes a goal. When you aim for the goal, it becomes a challenge. When you beat the challenge, the reward is success. To have success, you need a dream. And me as a person, as a kid, growing up, I had that dream that I wanted to play professional football, and I got a chance to play it in Saskatchewan.
Great place to play. You had the good fortune. Saskatchewan, as loved as the team is, they haven't won a lot of great cups, but you had the good fortune in your history with them to see both sides of the equation, where you won a great cup 3 years into your career with with Saskatchewan, and then with 3 years left, unfortunately, you lost. In you know, and but tell us a little bit about. You talk about goals. The Grey Cup has to be the goal when you enter into a league like the Canadian Football League. It is the championship, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. And you know, once you play a game and you get a chance to be in the Grey Cup, the one thing that you don't know is this, is that you don't know if you're going to get a chance to do it again. So when you play in the game, you definitely want to win it, because I look at what I've received, you know, winning the Grey Cup in 1989, and now I'm 48 years old, and knowing that the Rough Riders have been in existence for about 101 years, they only won 3 Grey Cups. And I look back at it, and I'm like, man, I am so happy that I won the Grey Cup, because not too many people has a ring like this. This is something that I cherish every day, man. I wear my ring every day. And it's unbelievable to know that, you know, it's not that many people that has it. And you have to cherish that moment. Whenever you get a chance to go play in the Grey Cup, you want to win it, because you never know if you're going to get an opportunity to get there again.
You know, Don, it's not only about winning. I mean, getting to the Grey Cup is also a monumental feat.
It's so hard. You know, you can have the best record in the league. At that time, I guess we were 9-9. So you can honestly say is that whatever team is hot in the playoffs, they can make it to the Grey Cup. So it really doesn't matter about your record. You know, you can be 15-3 or whatever, but that don't mean that you're going to win the Grey Cup. So this game is something, man. It's not how you start; it's how you finish. And
absolutely,
this is what the Canadian football. This is what the Canadian football is all about, man. It's very exciting. As you know, we have the number one fans in the nation. Yeah, that's why they call us Rider Nation.
There you go.
But this is what football is all about. They take it to heart, man. And you know, like today, I spoke at a graduation, man, and the Rider fans was up in there, man. They was representing. But you know what? The one thing that I wanted to do is make sure I let these kids know is that hard work pays off. And I was all about hard work. And I love this city, man. It's something that I never thought I'd be back in Saskatchewan, but I'm back. And, man, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you do have some of the most interesting fans. I don't know if they'd wear watermelons if they weren't green, though.
Yeah.
No, you know, all kidding aside, I'm an Argo fan. So when you speak to now I want to make this clear. I always say that because not because I'm trying to say, you know, not to be contradictory, but I just want to be honest. I'm an Argo fan, mm-hmm. but I'm a bigger CFL mm-hmm. fan. I love the CFL, and I'm a firm believer that Saskatchewan is nothing without Toronto, and Toronto is nothing without Saskatchewan. These are all Canadian cities. It's the only all-Canadian league of any kind of quality that can be admired, where a Canadian team, unlike in hockey where 20 years they haven't won a championship, a Canadian team, mm-hmm. every year a Canadian team wins, and it is the best of Canada meeting the best of Canada for a giant-sized party at the Grey Cup. And you mentioned you won the Grey Cup, you know, being a 9-9 team. It's not unusual. After all, last year, the team that I root for won the Grey Cup after being 9-9. So, you know, it isn't unusual, and you're right. It's how you finish. Now, let's talk about your career prior to your career. You had a very interesting life. You have always been successful, and I guess that, you know, hard work pays off ethic of yours has been very beneficial to you. If you could give advice to young football players today, what would that be?
I would say, you know, make sure you do all the small things. A lot of people don't like to do the small things, just being on time, having a great attitude, just working harder than the other guy. Try to be different from everybody else. That's what I did. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the tallest. But when I played football, I stood out. The one thing that I can do, I can catch the football. I couldn't run, but I could catch the football. And I had that dream that, hey, if I keep working hard, I can do this and I can do this. And then they had a lot of guys that was in front of me when I started off playing football in the seventh grade. I was seventh grade B team. Eighth grade, I was on the B team. Ninth grade, I was on the B team. 10th grade, they always had eight guys in front of me. And then 10th grade, same thing. 11th grade, the next thing you know, my 12th grade year, I was the starting receiver for the Lincoln Bumblebees, put off the Lincoln Bumblebees. And I had a quote for these kids, and I was like, hey, here's my quote. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I look back at it, and I'm like, man, these guys, they ran track. They were tall. They looked like a receiver. But you know what? They didn't work hard. I worked hard. I caught every last one of them and passed them up. And the same thing that I did back when I was a kid is the same thing I did when I got a chance to play in the CFL. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's my message to the kids, is that just believe in yourself. You know, I'm 5'9 and a half, 175 pounds, playing for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and I played for 13 years. And that's what it was all about.
Yeah, you worked very hard, and I think one of your biggest talents, you know, growing up, I had a nice opportunity. Actually, the first Grey Cup I ever witnessed as a media person was 1989. I'm trying to think, who won that Grey Cup? I think they wore green.
Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Absolutely, against Hamilton.
Yeah.
Against Hamilton.
Right, right.
One of the greatest games I've ever seen, 43-40. It was who threw the last pass was going to win the game.
That's right. That's right. It was a game that, you know, from the start, a lot of us, you know, most of the whole team never been there before, you know. So it was a game that was like, we just, you know, as receivers, you know, you had Ray Elgard, you had Jeff Fairholmes, Mark Guy. And then on the other side, you had Tony Champion. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, man, it was a game where, you know, Jeff Fairholmes made that big long catch. And then next thing you know, he took it for a touchdown. And then that opened up a lot of things for a lot of guys, because we were all a little tense, didn't know what to do and stuff like that. But once he made that touchdown, it was on. And, you know, Tony Champion making that big-time catch, the best catch ever. Man, it was just one of those games, you know. It was like, yeah, whoever has the ball last is going to win the game. And, you know, we pulled it out. And, you know, so it was pretty good, man.
It was the first time, if I remember correctly, that a Grey Cup game was played in Toronto in the Dome. So that was kind of a vacation. It was kind of a vacation for you guys. I mean, I know the Olympic Stadium was there, but, you know, playing inside for guys like you that love to make the moves, and your biggest talent in my mind, and the thing that sticks out in my head, is how fast you could run to the sideline and stop on a dime.
Yeah.
That was your trick move, and nobody could do anything about it.
No, I was I had a knack for it. You know, working out with Ken Austin. Working with Ken Austin was just amazing, man. This guy here, we was, if you know the history about me and Ken Austin, we tried out for the St. Louis Cardinals at the same time. He was there for a year, and then when I showed up there, I was a rookie, and he befriended me, man. He came over and started speaking to me and stuff like that, and we got cut at the same time, and I came to Saskatchewan, and 2 weeks later, here come Ken Austin. But me and Ken Austin had the knack of knowing how where I was going to be and where to throw the ball. He knew that if I was on the sideline, hey, man, you could almost throw it out of bounds. I had them 40-inch arms. I can always pull it no matter what. And the one thing about me, I don't miss the ball. I'm going to catch everything that come my way. I might not get, you know, yak yards and try to get up the field and stuff, but I tell you what, I'm going to catch everything that you throw to me. If you throw me a 10-yard route, I'm going to have you 10 yards. You know, so that's basically what it was for me and Kent. And we just had that stuff together where he knew where I was going to be, man. And, you know, that was one of my best routes right there.
Okay, now I don't want to upset any Rider fans because I don't want to get any evil mail, but I have to ask the question. Since you raised the subject of Ken Austin, he's wearing black and gold now. I mean, are you going to go help him with the Ticats anytime soon?
No, not at all. Not at all. No,
I guess
not
the
at
friendship
all, but...
isn't that strong, Don.
No. You know what? I'm waiting for him to come down because I haven't talked to him in a long time. I'm waiting for him to come down when they play against Saskatchewan. The one thing that I know that I'm going to do is that I'm going to send some. I'm going to send a fruit basket and everything to his hotel, and you know, just say, man, have a good game and thank you for what you've done for me. You know, I'm a Hall of Famer and stuff like that, and I couldn't have been a Hall of Famer without this guy here. He was my roommate out here in Saskatchewan, and man, I'm telling you, I don't know where I would be if he didn't play an integral part in my life. So I'm a definitely, you know, I support the guy, but you know, when it comes to, you know, Hamilton going against Saskatchewan, of course, Saskatchewan will pull it off. But I have a lot of respect for this guy. He's a great guy. You got to know him to love him because he likes to be in control, and he has all the control over there in Hamilton, and he's going to do a very good job working with Henry Burrs and that group, man. That Ken Austin is something else. More kudos to him, but when he come down here, I hope they have a bad game.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I say. I had the good fortune of interviewing about 20-some-odd combine kids from, you know, different kids trying out and hoping to be drafted to the CFL. And I always told them, I said,
right,
I wish you all the best luck in the world. But when you come to Toronto, you're going to be the player of the game, but it's too bad you're going to have a loss hung on you. I love the CFL. Let me tell you, buddy, I really love the CFL. You know, there isn't a nicer bunch of people than there are as players in the CFL. And it's a mixture of North Americans. Of course, we call it the Canadian Football League, but the Canadian Football League wouldn't be what it is today without some great American young men who came north, maybe because their dream wasn't looking like it was going to happen down south in that great National Football League. But they came up here and found a game. Tell us about the first time you came up to Canada, your experience being a young American kid looking to play football.
Let me back it up a little. When I was in college, you know, I had met I had this guy by the name of James West that played for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Tough guy.
And yeah, and he in 1986 he came over and was talking to us, and he had brought this receiver with him, and his name was James Murphy. So I'm like, and they start talking about how James Murphy caught 105 passes and stuff like that. So I'm looking at him, I'm like, man, if he can do that, because he's a little bitty joke, if he can do it, I know I can. So I'm sitting back, and I'm like, you know, and that was my dream. I'm like, shoot, I can get down there. If he's doing it, I can do it too. He caught 100 passes? Oh, shoot. So next thing you know, 1987 showed up, and I had a friend of mine that took me to a football camp for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and they had 400 guys out there. And it was a two-day camp, and I went out there, and they wanted to sign – after the two-day camp, they wanted to sign four guys, and I was one of the guys that they wanted to sign for the football camp. But I was on the neg list with Winnipeg, and I was like, I'm not going to Winnipeg. He got that James Murphy. I already caught 105 passes. I'm not going over there. So I had tried out with the Cardinals. And then when I got cut from the Cardinals, I flew in September 4th to Saskatchewan. And right when I got off the plane, I was like, man, it's cold out here. It was cold. And then I showed up to practice. Practice had started at 10 o'clock, but I made it in at 10:30. So I made it to the locker room, and I was like, okay, well, I don't think I have to practice today. So they was like, hey, we want you to practice. So I went out there, and I started seeing these guys running in motion, and it's 12 men on the football field. I'm like, man, what is this stuff? Man, you got guys wearing 70s that's a receiver. I'm like, wow. So then they stopped practice, and then they said, okay, we're going to stop practicing. Narcisse, we want you to run 10 routes. They put 10 defensive backs on one side. I ran 10 routes. I caught 9 out of the 10, went into the locker room after that. They had another guy that was number 80. They cut him that same day and gave me number 80. And when I seen that, I was like, oh, my goodness, that's how they do it out here? I was like, man, I'm gonna be on point at all times because I seen this guy get cut by just bringing another guy in. And I was able to play for 13 years. I guess I was scared straight.
So you came in. The game was a total different game, which, by the way, today's game and guys like Chad Owens, they owe you a lot of credit because, you know, you proved that a smallish guy could catch in the CFL. And you were pretty much a prototypical today kind of receiver. And obviously, by what you just said right now, you knew that your size wasn't going to be a handicap when you came up here.
No, it wasn't at all, because I got a chance to see James Murphy, and he wasn't that big. And I knew I was going to at least get a good opportunity. And when I did get the opportunity, I made the best of it. You know, I get, man, you just don't know. Like you asked me the question before, you was like, hey, what can you tell kids? Well, the things that I did on the football field, it's not what I did on the football field, it's what I did at practice. I practiced so hard. I practiced to a point where I knew if I had a good practice, I knew I was going to take it into the game. And another thing is this, is that I ran scout team. I ran scout team for 13 years. I never took a break during practice. So I was always trying to do the extra things, the little small things that other guys wouldn't do, because you had other guys be like, man, I'm not doing that. Look, Narcisse's doing it, but I can't do it. But that was a knack, that you have to do these little small things if you want to stay. And for me, I wasn't that fast. I wasn't no kick return. I wasn't no punt return. I could only play receiver. And I knew if they had somebody else to come in, they could play receiver, they could do punt return and kickoff return, my job going to be in jeopardy. So I made sure I was good at my craft, where I knew I had to catch everything that came my way. So I had to be better than everybody.
And obviously, it's a well understood rule by most people that are involved in the CFL and the players that don't abide by the 6 months of work before the season starts have trouble during the season. That's in the CFL, more than any other league, it's how you prepare for the season that determines how successful you will be during the season.
Correct. And, you know, during the off season, I had a personal trainer. I worked out as hard as I could. But for me, it was more of a visual thing. I used to visualize what I was going to do on the football field. I used to just like, man, okay, I know I'm going to get my touchdown. I know I'm going to do my dance. I practice my dance in the mirror. and it was just that. I knew if I had a good practice, I know I was like, man, I know I'm at least, you know, and I know I'm going to get me one, you know. And another thing for me is this, is that I had played for like 6-7 years, and somebody came up to me and they start talking about, well, you about to break a record about catching one pass in a game, in consecutive games. I'm like, what you talking about? Yeah, they have a guy that has 137, and you getting close to it. I was like, man, receiver's supposed to catch the ball. You're supposed to catch a pass every game, no matter what. So I never really concentrated on catching one pass. I always try to concentrate catching five. So it was never a necessity to me to catch one. But I got a chance to break Tony Gabriel's record. He got a chance to fly down here. Broke it. It's 137. I got it to 138. I played 216 games, and I have the record 216 in a row. Consecutive.
That's right.
So every game I played for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, I caught at least one pass. And I don't think anybody would be able to break that record because I went to work every day. So ain't nobody can break that record.
another tough part of that record is doing it for the same team, you know, especially the further we go into history or the further we move forward in sports, it seems the less and less there are players that play for the same team for their whole career. You know, that's something that's going to be very unusual, right? What do you attribute your durability? You know, what created your durability?
Well, I think, you know, for me is that, what I seen when I first got here, of them cutting a receiver September, you know, right after September, and that really scared me to a point where I knew that that can happen to me one day. And I always were prepared, and that's why I worked so hard on what I was doing. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, this is a job, and I got to be out there to do my job. So I was always prepared for it.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. I'd say that we're going to our sponsors, but we don't have any. So, you know, we'll just do more rider stuff. How's that? How's that, Don?
Right, yeah, not a problem.
Here we go. Be quiet now. They got to hear this stuff.
Okay.
I am Rider Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Rider Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
Travis Lule. Travis Lule.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's accurate.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion. He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning, TSN 1050.
1, 2, 3.
We're the Argos cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
Oh my God. 1, 2, 3.
We're the Argos cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank!
There you go, Frank.
There you go.
Thank you. Sis.
CO2.
Chad Owens, favorite player ever.
He's from Hawaii, playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good, he's real good.
He's into MMA.
From the gridiron to the octagon.
He's got game.
This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one.
He's got a great cup. He's a family man.
Team player. Dedication to the max.
True blue through and through.
I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning. All right. Well, I think that's a good introduction to the next couple of questions. Why are you laughing, bud? Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Hey, man, where are those Argo cheerleaders at, man?
Hey, buddy, be careful. One of them went to school with my daughter. When I look at them, I see my daughter. So needless to say, they're fully clothed when I look at them.
Oh, man. Oh.
Okay, now that we proved we're old men.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the game and sitting on the outside looking in now. You had a chance to, you know, be a part of it up close, and you know, now you're spending a little more time on the outside seeing how the league has progressed. You've had the good fortune or misfortune to see the lull after you retired. The CFL hit a couple of speed bumps there, you know, Ottawa, Montreal, and now everything seems to be getting really good, which is awesome because, you know, for the third year in a row, I know there's a city hoping that the home team wins the Grey Cup. Talk to us about this year and how the CFL has recovered, if that is what you think as well, or if you agree with that.
Yeah, I think it recovered. As you can see, you know, players' salaries that went up, and you know, and which is a good thing, because you know, back in the day, you know, when I played, it was more like, you know, the salaries were okay, but the conversion rate was like it was 67 cents on a dollar. So if you was an American, you'd be like, you done lost almost half of your check. And, you know, things have changed. You know, the TV deal is doing well. The TV deal is doing very well, which is a good thing. And that really helps things out. And the one thing that really helps the CFL out is that when Toronto wins, or, you know, if they're having a great season, it makes everybody having a good season because that's the big market right there. So.
You're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. Come on, Doug. Tell the truth. Do you want me to speak the truth for you? Do you want me to speak the truth for you?
Well, you could do it in your term, but the way I see it is this, is that if they do bad,
I bet you'll agree with me when I'm done saying what I'm going to say.
Well, go ahead.
Are you ready?
I want you
to sit down because, you know, you got to listen to your elders here. Remember, I'm older than you
are.
Okay. You got to listen to your elders, okay? Now, the way I see it is this. Every other city in Canada hates Toronto, so if they're doing well, everybody's going to show up to boo them.
I wouldn't say that.
Don't worry, buddy. It's not a bad thing to say. Everybody hates Toronto everywhere else in Canada. Yeah, sure they do. They, you know, we're the city that no one likes only because we are the city that we are, and it's okay. You know, we Torontonians, we people that were born here in Toronto, we're accustomed to being told that we don't know how to be fans, which is why we started this little group called the Argo Lifers. You know, in Section 134. When you come, I want you to come and visit when the Riders come.
Okay.
We're giving it a different attitude. We're giving it a little more of a Saskatchewan flavor.
No. You know what? You know, check this out. No. You know what? As players, this is how we seen it. We see it this way. Where is TSN? Is it in Toronto?
Well, it is the Toronto Sports Network, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. So that's the big market. That's what they want, man. They want to make sure that just like they had the little Hard Knock stuff. I was like, come on, man. You got the Argos on there. Come on, man. The Rough Riders should have been on that, man. nobody even looked at that. I was like, come on, man. That would have been like ratings would have been off the chart. You would have had everybody in Saskatchewan watching it.
Absolutely.
And having it in Toronto, you know, it's a lot of things going on in Toronto. You got baseball.
Yeah, but that's why. That's why. When I say hate Toronto, I do not mean that in the literal sense. And I don't mean that in the sense that, you know, I mean in the competitive sense. Because, you know, we've got everything already. Why should we also win the Grey Cup? Or why should we also, like, we want to beat them. They're the big league city. They won't say that, but that's what we are. We're the big league city. And, you know.
Well, you know, I was happy that Toronto won. I went to the Grey Cup. I was happy that they won because it made things better for the CFL. And they had a pretty good team, too. And they kicked butt. You got Chad Owens that's doing a great job. You have Ricky Ray that's awesome. You know, I don't know why Edmonton gave him to y'all, but you know.
I'll tell you.
They have a great team.
We're very proud. And you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We're very proud of our team. You know, and enough about Toronto. I was born and raised here. I love the city. You know, it's nice to see a winner. You know, in Toronto, it almost doesn't matter which team it is because, well, let's face it, not many Toronto teams win championships. So you know, right. It's nice to see a championship in this town, and it's nice to see people celebrate. You're right. There's a lot of media here, so the media gets a little bit excited. It was an incredible. You know, I'm hoping the best. And let's switch the topic over to the team that really matters tonight, and that is the Regina team, mm-hmm. the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You've got the Grey Cup coming there. You know, 2 years in a row now, BC wins the Grey Cup at home. Toronto wins the Grey Cup at home. Do you think there might be a little too much pressure on Saskatchewan to win the Grey Cup at home?
I wouldn't say it's a lot of pressure because, you know, being out here is always, you know, that's just the Saskatchewan way. You know, if you lose, they're going to be on you. If you win, they're going to be right there with you. So that's just how it always been, you know. But like I said, you know, these fans, they're going to support our team. You know, I don't know if the guys going to have a lot of pressure on themselves, but you win games one by one. You got to take it one at a time. And like I said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's going to be a lot of pressure, but, you know, I think we have a pretty good team. You know, we have, you know, Darren Durant that's a great quarterback. We have
absolutely
G-Rod Simon that's going to open things up for the other receivers. We have a good receiving core, you know, the offensive line. And the defensive line, heck, you got John Chick that came back here. And
holy crap, yeah.
Defense is looking great, man. And it's just the point, it's going to take them some time to, you know, to gel together. But, heck, what team going to gel together on the first game? You know, it takes some time for each team to start gelling and stuff like that and learn, you know, try to learn their players and stuff like that. But it's going to be quite interesting for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, you know. And I'm pretty sure if we in the game, you know, we're trying to win, you know. And I can tell you now, it ain't going to be no little blowouts and stuff like that, but – hey, we're looking forward to it. And we can make it three in a row, you know, make it where, you know, every team where, you know, the Grey Cup is here, shoot, we want to win, you know. Because I tell you what, they're going to shut the whole city down once we get
no
to the
kid.
Grey Cup.
No kid, no kid, no kid. But you know what? It don't matter if win or lose, Saskatchewan loves their football, you know. And if the Grey Cup happens, there aren't bigger rooters for the game. Last year, I had the good fortune of spending a lot of time during the Grey Cup with my buddy John Granger and Jamie Wolodarski. They're all We Argo Lifers had a real hoot. It was awesome to be there to see all the Saskatchewan fans who were rooting and there to support a game that didn't include their team, and they were supporting it as hard and as you know, as intently as anyone. And that, I have to say, you know, when I talk about Toronto not being liked by the rest of Canada, bear this in mind. I love the country of Canada. That's my country. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact, you know, people ask me, well, Frank, what's so big about the CFL? And I always mention to them, and people are going to get tired of hearing this, the reason I love the CFL is Montreal, Toronto, Hamilton, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Edmonton, BC, and next year Ottawa. That's why I love the CFL. I love my country, and it brings our country together, and we have a lot of fun. And I know as an American, you've seen how excited Canadians get about this game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. It's amazing, man. And you know what? You get guys from the U.S. that play in the NFL might come to an event out here, and they just be flabbergasted. They be like, wow, man, what type of people is this, man? They so nice, and they love their team. And, you know, I was like, you know, I had a few football players that came through here, man. And it's a different mode from the NFL and the CFL, because we could interact with the fans. In the NFL, they kind of like standoffish, you know. You can't really talk to them and stuff like that. But
you can't get past security into the building.
You can't get past
security.
No, and these guys, like, wow, man, I love it. Oh, and I was like, they make a whole bunch of money out here too. You don't have to be no football player. <You know? laughs> I said the economy is real good out here. So they got people walking around here making way more than what you're doing over there in the NFL.
Well, that is the amazing thing. That is the amazing thing about the CFL. And I want to make sure that I want to tell you about three people that I'm going to miss and that I really like. Belton Johnson. I don't know if you know him. Give him a big hey. Go ahead.
That guy there is the nicest guy. He's a gentle giant. That guy there is, oh man, he's just like me. He has a lot of passion. He's outgoing. Oh man, that's a good guy. That's a good guy right there.
There isn't nothing he can't barbecue.
Oh no. He he can eat. Hey, dude can eat. Oh my goodness.
And another young man that we had here in Toronto. Two great young men that we had here. One of my favorite Argos when he was here, Tristan Black. You've got him now, and of course the Canadian MVP of the Grey Cup, Ricky Foley. So there's still Argos in my heart, and I wish them the best there in Saskatchewan. And when you see him, tell him I said hello. And they probably I know Belton knows who I am, and I know Tristan knows him, but Ricky might not know who I am. But that's
right,
the
right.
Point. But I'm proud of them.
Yeah, and that's good they was able to get Ricky Foley. You know, the one thing about Ricky, they said that the reason why he signed with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is because them coming out that tunnel, he loved the way they come out the tunnel. So that's going to be very nice to see him run out that tunnel, be the first guy running out. And I don't know if you ever experienced it, the music that they play. I don't think Toronto does that. But we do it. We entertain over here. But they had this song called "Bring It Out," and then they mix in some other stuff, man. And you ought to see it. It's an act, man. It's an act. So I don't want.
Is that an invitation?
I don't want to tell you too much about it because the Argos might try to put it into their stuff.
So is that an invitation? Are you inviting me to see what it's like, or?
Oh yeah, man. You need to, man. It's nice, man.
you know how crazy Saskatchewan is for football. They've already sold out all the hotels for the Grey Cup. They had them all sold out before the season started.
Yeah, ain't that
something? Sound about right?
Yep. Yeah, buddy. They have one hotel. Well, I tell you what. Now they have one hotel. They said all you got to do is keep calling. It was called the Regina Inn. They changing it to the Hilton, and they said you just got to keep calling to find out because I think it's going to be available at Grey Cup, but they haven't been taking any reservations yet.
Oh, cool!
Yeah.
So that's a good inside tip to those that are listening to the program right now. If you're interested in going
to
the Grey Cup.
Now it's turning into a Hilton Hotel, and they're renovating it right now. But I guess they want to make sure that they're going to be ready for the Grey Cup before they start taking reservations. So they ask for people to, keep checking in to find out and, just keep on. Because,
that's great.
I'm pretty sure they're going to make it happen because there's going to be a lot of people down here, so.
Oh, it's going to be a party. You know. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the one thing that is traditional in the Canadian Football League is the way the Players Association and their members, alumni and otherwise, are so accessible to the fans. You guys do a lot of good work. You have your thing called Kidsport that you do annually. Can you tell the listeners about that?
Yeah, what I do when I decided to move back to Saskatchewan, it was the reason why I did move back is that when I got inducted to the Hall of Fame, it was 2010. I was riding around in the golf cart with my little son, and at halftime it was 32,000 fans giving me a standing ovation. I was like, man, people still love me out here, and I've been away for at least 10 years. So I decided to move back, and when I moved back, the one thing that I wanted to do is to show my appreciation for playing for 13 years. And I know that I didn't play because of my talent. It was mostly because of these fans. And to give back to the fans, I wanted to give back through the youth. And I decided to have a football camp for kids. And the football camp is about getting the kids off the sideline and getting them into the game. It's not about football. It's about giving these kids just an opportunity to meet a professional athlete at a young age. And like I was telling the kids, is that the first time I met a professional athlete, it was James Murphy. And I was like, I want to be just like him. And I brought James Murphy down to my football camp. And I told the kids, I was like, hey, I looked up to this guy here. He caught 105 passes. In my career, I caught 123. This guy here was a Hall of Famer. I forgot what year he was in. And I say, I'm a Hall of Famer just like him. And I say, it's all about a dream. You got to have that dream. And giving these kids an opportunity to meet a professional athlete at a young age, and whatever they want to do in life, you got to have these three things. You got to be on time. You got to have a great attitude. And you got to work hard. And that's anything in life. But these kids, they get, you know, my first year, I had 400 kids at the football camp. They get a chance to run out the tunnel. They get a chance to go to the locker room. Oh, man, it's amazing. And what I did, you know, I got real good at it now. I do one in Regina, and I do one in Saskatoon, and then the week after, I do one in Regina. And last year, I brought in Anthony Cavillo for the Saskatoon one. And, man, it was amazing to get an opportunity to have this guy show up and work with these kids. And then I also have a gala that night, and he was my guest speaker and stuff like that. And I had Damon Allen to come down before, and I had G-Roy Simon, I had Henry Burris. And it's just great that I can do this, but it's all about giving back. Because what I try to explain to the guys that's playing football, no more, you know, you can be the best player on a team and do all you can on the football field. But when you get through playing football, the one thing that people in Regina or in Saskatchewan, the one thing that they remember what you did off the field rather than what you did on the field. And like I always tell these football players is that as you go up that ladder, you're going to see the same people when you're coming down. So make sure you have a lot of passion.
You're still there.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good. I lost my guest. Who am I talking to?
My name is Mike. I'm calling from Minnesota.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'll try and get. Are you calling to talk to Mr. Narcisse?
No, I was just calling to. I was gonna hopefully talk to you after you're done with him.
Oh, okay. And what did you want to talk about?
I just want to talk a little bit about the Argos and the Riders.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Just give me a chance here to get back my guest. Somehow,
okay.
I guess when you came on, it got rid of him for some reason.
Oh.
I don't even know why. I don't
I'm
even know why. But
no,
don't worry about it. It wasn't your fault. Just give me a sec to regroup here and get him back on. He was in the middle of talking, and
okay.
I'd like to get him back on. And, yeah, we can talk after this. We can talk about the Argos. Just let
okay.
me give him a call. I this is strange. There we go. We'll call him and
okay.
We'll see if he gets in there. Do you have a question for him, or do you want to just talk about the Argos?
No, I
yes.
have to wait till after.
Okay, I'll put you
Hello.
On. Do you mind listening to the
yep.
show for now?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
good. So what I lost you there. We had a caller, and the caller inadvertently
mm-hmm.
booted you off in mid-conversation.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I was wondering what happened.
What the heck happened? I'm going, all of a sudden I hear this other voice, and I'm going, at the same time I lost you, this other voice comes in, and he's getting ready to talk about the next part of the program, which is great. You know,
okay, cool.
We still have time left. We have a couple of minutes left. We were talking about the good work that you guys do, that players do, and you did
right.
with kids sport. And I apologize for you being losing, dropping your call.
No. It must have been an Argo. He must be an Argo or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is. He didn't seem too apologetic for knocking you off. No, he did. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like I was saying, is this? Huh?
Go ahead.
No, like I was saying is that, you know, giving these kids the opportunity and stuff like that, and these guys are, you know, I get a lot of the Rough Rider players helping out and stuff, but this is what it's about, is giving back, because when you do give back, you receive 10 times more. So that's what it's all about.
You know, if I were to, you know, you let's touch a couple more things. I just want to take a few more minutes, and I hope the Argo fans will be patient enough, the Argo and Hamilton fans will be patient enough to let me talk to this important person here. And I'm sure Kent Austin will forgive us. Okay, so you were a trumpet player. You played trumpet. How was that?
You know, it sucks.
How long did you
because,
play?
it sucks because the only reason why I played trumpet, my mom didn't want me to play any sports because I had a heart murmur and I had asthma. So I had I had to play the trumpet like my older brother. And I did it for the fifth and sixth grade, but after that, I had to give it up, man. I sucked real bad.
Well, you didn't suck in school. You were in the Honor Society.
Yeah, I was pretty smart then. I was pretty smart.
What
you
happened?
Know,
you got stupid all of a sudden? You're not smart anymore?
No, I was pretty smart. I was pretty smart to get rid of that doggone trumpet too. I go try out for the football team, you know. So, yeah, but
okay.
I look back at some of the things that I did, man, and I'm glad the things that I went through and I learned from it, and it made me a stronger person.
Now, you also had – give us a couple of – a minute or two on the legendary coach, Eddie Robinson. You had the good fortune of playing for him.
Well, you know, I played for him for one game. It was a all-star game. Got a chance to meet the guy, and it was amazing, man, but – you know, at practice, it was like, man, this man don't want to let us out of practice. We practiced for about 3-4 hours. I was like, man, this is an all-star game. But I had a great time playing for him, man, and it was amazing to be able to have him as a coach. It was just amazing, man, to be in his presence, you know. And, you know, he talk a lot, but, hey, we learned a lot, so much from him, man. But, you know, that's one of the all-time leading coaches right there, man.
Don, one last thing I want to ask you. You know, let make it two. Let's do this one first, and I'll do the last one. 1995 Outstanding Player. What made you so outstanding that year in your own mind?
I think that's the year that I caught 123 passes. I think what happened is that the coaches put me in the slot position. I was able to do what the slots do. As you know, slot backs, they can get the ball real quick. And when you play the wideout position, it's kind of hard to get the ball all the time. And I was able to move around, and they put me in different positions where I can run toward the line and stuff like that. And that opened a lot of things and made my game just a little more better. And I was able to utilize it, and shoot, next thing you know, I didn't cut 123 passes.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
Now, is there a question or a comment or something that I've missed that you think that you'd like to share with our listeners in as far as Don Narcisse is concerned? You had a great career. You're a wonderful man, and I really appreciate you being on. But is there something I missed that I should have mentioned or should have asked you, or do you want to get out there?
I don't think you miss anything, man. I just, you know, for me, it's more of about our fans. You know, if anything I can do, I thank them all the time. But you know, if they're listening right now, I'd just like to thank them for giving me that opportunity to play for 13 years for the same place. And, you know, it's been unbelievable. And, you know, if you would have asked me 10 years ago that I'll be staying in Regina, I would have told you, heck no. And now that I'm back, man, I've been back for 3 years, and it's been lovely. I do a lot of speaking engagements. I do my football camp. So, it's just amazing, man, to be back out here.
Listen, thank you very much, Don. It's been a pleasure. You know, the fact that you are so humble and so great at the same time, I find totally amazing. Thank you for taking the time with us here, and we really appreciate it on Candid Frank Live, streamed on Rouge Radio. We really do appreciate this opportunity to talk to you.
Not a problem at all. Thank you so much.
Hope to hear from you again. We'd like to get maybe even during the Grey Cup we'll talk. You can tell us what it'll
that'll
what it'll
work.
Like there.
That'll work, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Saskatchewan will be in it.
Well, best of luck.
All right. Y'all take care, man. Thank y'all so much.
You too. And when the Argos beat Saskatchewan in Saskatchewan, we will all celebrate. Well, maybe not the Saskatchewan folks. Talk to you later, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye to you too. Okay. We're going to take a short break. We'll switch over now. Jared Harris is going to call on, hopefully remembers to call on. We're going to talk to him as a Ticat fan. And apparently it sounds like we've got an Argo fan or not. I'm not really sure. But what we'll do is we'll take a short break and, you know, and basically, what should we do here? Let's see. You know, Khalif Mitchell, incredible stuff. I got to tell you, Matt Black, he's going to play the center, the middle position. That's really, I lost my buddy Quincy Hurst. Of course, Chad Owens is back. Carter and Isaac are incredible. There's a lot of stuff going on that we all can be happy with if you're an Argo fan. Of course, Appel and Pottinger, two of my favorite Argos who spend a lot of time, you know, giving back to the community. And maybe, you know, if I had a chance to talk to Matt Dunnigan. There's the guy. And this new kid, Michael DiDomenico. Oh my goodness! What a great player this kid's going to turn into being. Okay, let's. I'll do two promos right now. Let's start with this one, and then we'll come back and talk to our guest that's waiting on the phone line.
Disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on, be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, aka the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
We're the Argos cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
We're the Argos cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There you go, Frank.
Thank you.
Well, that was really nice of the girls to do that, and I have to tell you, they're all old enough to be my granddaughter. Okay, who are we talking to?
Hi, my name is Micah from Minnesota.
Hey, Mike, how you doing from Minnesota? So what's a guy from Minnesota calling a show about Canadian football?
Yeah, actually, I started getting into the CFL back in 2010, and at the time I just got kind of sick of the Vikings, so I just gave the CFL a try and ended up really liking it. So, you know, you're one of the few shows that it does, like, these regular, you know, broadcasts talking about the league, so I started listening to the show, and I thought it was great, so became a fan. So you're doing a great job.
I really appreciate that. That's yep. Something that, you know, we're a no-budget program, so, you know, when we can get people interested in Minnesota, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, okay, so you started watching, obviously, you know, I find it almost hard to believe because the impression for us here in Canada that follow football and follow the NFL and follow the Minnesota Vikings, you know, you've got a great history, but unfortunately, you know, it hasn't been a winning history lately. You've made it to the Super Bowl a few times, so I can understand. But what about the Canadian game specifically is so attractive? Is it the run and gun? Is it the wide field, the players in motion? What is it that attracts you so much?
Well, the first thing initially that surprised me was, you know, I kind of looked at some of the other leagues like the UFL and stuff that had kind of popped up, but when I looked at the CFL and I saw the long history that it had, that it wasn't some little fly-by-night operation, but it was something that went way back. And in fact, I think in some cases might be older than the NFL. But,
it absolutely is.
That was, yeah, when I saw that, I was amazed. And, you know, then once you actually saw the league and the way they played the game, I thought it was a lot more exciting, you know, having three downs, a wider field, the bigger end zone, and the way they just, you know, it was sort of an unconventional thing. You saw a lot of, like, read options and, you know, like, things that you would see in college, and I thought that was just a really well-made game from a TV viewing, you know, standpoint. And once I saw, I actually saw the 2010 Grey Cup, and from there, I was pretty much hooked, and since then I've been a huge fan of the league.
Yeah, you're fortunate, too, because NBC and I think it's, what, ESPN3, they're streaming online as well. There are a lot of all the CFL games now are on television in the U.S. in some way or another.
Yes, sir.
So and you get to – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, a lot of people may be surprised, but there's a lot of Americans that are really actually into the CFL, and, like, I know for a fact, like, I know probably, like, 20 people that regularly watch it and even prefer it over the NFL, because the NFL – while it may get a lot more attention and hype, and obviously there's a lot more money involved in it, when you honestly watch the game, I mean, 8 times out of 10, it's actually pretty boring because, you know, they have so much emphasis on the run, and with those 4 downs, teams tend to, you know, be a little bit more conservative. So, I mean, for me personally, like watching the Vikings the last 5 years, with the exception of the 1 year, with that one great year we had with Brett Favre, they've pretty much been run the ball, ground and pound, and that's not entertaining at all. I mean, if you're just honest with yourself, you know. So,
yeah, but then when you have one of the best running backs in the NFL, you're going to do that, aren't you?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
it's good, but I mean, like most, if you talk to a lot of Americans, they tell you the truth. Like the NFL, it's all about hype, and it's just the convenience of having it every Sunday, and it sort of just became a tradition. But when they really talk about it, like anyone I've been with that's ever sat down and actually watched a CFL game, they always say, yeah, this is a lot more entertaining than the NFL. Like, it's unanimous. I've never met one person who's even looked at, like, highlights and said otherwise. Because it's just designed to be more TV friendly, like, from an entertainment standpoint.
No, absolutely. You're preaching to the choir, but that's okay. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've been as diehard a football fan as I am this year and last year, but I got to tell you, the best thing about the CFL is going to see the game live. As nice and as good as it is to see on television, it really is very entertaining also live, and it really is a fun game to watch. Something that makes the game even more interesting here is it's affordable.
Right, yep. Yeah, that would actually be the next thing I was going to say, was the fact that the players aren't being paid like these ridiculous salaries, and they're basically like regular guys like you and me that are just playing the game out of, you know, the love for the game. And, you know, I know a few of the guys get paid well, but the majority get would be considered like an average, you know, everyday salary. So a lot of people, when they see that, they actually find that, you know, a lot better, and that the guys are approachable, because, like, I've met a lot of the Viking players here, and, you know, a lot of them, they have that arrogant kind of looking down on other people because, you know, and obviously they're millionaires, you know, so that really puts a lot of people off. And I've met some CFL players, like, in Winnipeg and stuff, and they totally have a completely different, you can just see they're a lot more, you know, a lot more humble, a lot more approachable. They, like, appreciate the fact that you don't even know who they are. So I think that's nice. So.
It's more than nice. It is refreshing. I go to the practices every day, and the guys are so – and I think it has more to do with the fact that they're so happy to be playing, and they're grateful for the opportunity that they have to play. And the guys that do come here from the U.S. want to play the game. That's why they're here. I'm not saying they don't want the money, but I'm saying that the game is just as important as the money.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing I was also, like, really, like, from a business standpoint, I was just impressed at, like, how the CFL survived that really rough stretch they had in the 90s and, like, the early 2000s. And when I kind of looked into the history, I thought it looked like the league should have collapsed, like, 3 or 4 times. But the fact for it to be where it is now with all the new stadiums and getting that huge TV deal now with TSN, it's amazing that they've got to this point. And, you know, it just earned a level of respect just to, you know, kind of like the little underdog. Like, so they're almost like the little engine that could that finally got over the hill. And I think now the CFL is going to go to, like, an elite level now. I think when people start to look at it, you know, like, because I live close to Winnipeg, and a lot of people have seen the new stadium from, like, down here in Minnesota, and they're pretty impressed, and they're surprised that the Canadian Football League is even at that level where they could have such nice facilities. And I think in the next 5 to 10 years, the league is just going to be in a totally different place, and it's going to be something that people can actually look at and think, yeah, this is actually professional. So,
well, let's be honest. I don't mean this as a knock against the NFL, but there's a whole lot of football fans that are being priced out of the game.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's essentially what's happening. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you can really find a bargain. And as an American in Minnesota that lives close to Winnipeg, I think you found a bargain.
Oh, yeah. Like season tickets, just to throw out a price, like you could get great seats for like $500 for season tickets. That wouldn't even get you, like, the nosebleeds in the Metrodome, you know? Like, and
for a game and parking.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Don't even get started
on
the parking here.
A beer, parking, and the ticket, $500. We have the same problem here with hockey in Toronto. It's the exact same problem, is that it's very expensive. Only the elite can afford to go to the game. And if anybody goes to a game who isn't elite, it'll be somebody that goes maybe once in a lifetime. You know,
right.
And that's a lot of pressure, you know, to have somebody go and spend a lifetime wanting to go to see a game, and then it's a crapshoot to whether they enjoy it or not, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right.
Yeah, so it's really nice. I'm a first-year season ticket holder for the Toronto Argonauts. I'm very proud to be an Argonaut fan. I enjoy the players. I enjoy the game, and it's a lot of fun. We've got another caller. He can't get through on Skype, so I'm going to call him, and we're going to hear a dial tone. But we'll just talk over him until he gets on, okay? I assume it's a he.
Okay.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Do you play football? Is it something that you do?
Yeah, I just got out of college. I used to play ball in high school, but, you know, that's just something I enjoy doing.
Are you considered a professional? Are you attempting to play?
Yeah, no, not even close. I'm just a regular guy, like, that just likes football pretty much. But I just wanted to ask you too, like, because I have a couple of friends here who are Argo fans as well, and, like, everyone's saying that the Argos look like they're poised to become like a dynasty for the next 3 years. And, like, one of my friends mentioned to me, he felt like the biggest move this offseason was the fact that Chris Jones didn't take the head coaching job in Montreal. And he felt like when he reads a lot of the articles and forums, he feels like no one really points that out, that Chris Jones, in my opinion, I think he's one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in the league. And by keeping him in, if they can hold on to him for the next couple of years, pairing him up with an offensive mind like Milanovic, hope I'm saying that correctly.
You are.
But I think that, you know, as long as they can keep Ray healthy, and even with, if you look behind them, they even have some nice young prospects at quarterback. I just think that they're set to really, you know, be in a position to just take over the Eastern Division and pretty much replace what Montreal had been the last decade. Because once Cavillo hangs it up, I mean, Montreal's going to the cellar for like the next 5 years. I mean, they're going to be in total. That's the truth.
There's a lot of truth in what you're saying, in the sense that, you know, the CFL is a league where if you've got a quarterback, you got a chance to win. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much chance to win. And on the subject of the backup quarterbacks they have now, they've got two A. They've got two kids, Trevor Harris and Zach Kolaros. It's nip and tuck. You know, Harris seemed to have the edge last year. Kolaros seems to be having the edge this year. And every day when I go to practice, these guys are working out for another half hour, 45 minutes, an hour after the other guys have all left. So,
wow.
You know, they're very intent. They're very intent on making the team. And they're hoping, you know, they're hoping against hope. Nobody talks about the other two guys, but still, the Argos, for those that don't understand or know, the Ottawa Rough Riders used to be the team in Ottawa. Now they've got a new team, the Red Blacks, and they're going to be involved in the draft. So the Argos and a lot of other teams are stockpiling players that they will be willing to lose. So there's a bit of a thing going on there. Okay, I know now for sure who it is. Jared, buddy, how's it going? Meet Mike from Minnesota, a CFL fan.
Hey, Jared, how you doing?
Jared,
is he there?
His mic is on. He might have stepped away to get a drink of water or something. So we'll keep talking until. You know what? Let's go to. I got a couple interviews I'd like to. Who do you want to hear from? Tell me who you want to hear from.
Who do you want to hear from, Mike?
Just pick a name.
I guess Khalif Mitchell would be nice.
You want to hear from Khalif Mitchell?
Yep.
Okay, we can do that. We can do that. Hang on a second. I just got to find his interview. Khalif.
What would be the most recent one that you have?
Oh, I got a whole bunch of recent ones I haven't played yet. I'm behind on editing. I'm a one man operation, so you know I've got a slew of guys, and I'm looking. I got Khalif. Oh. No, I'm going to go with Khalif. Where's Khalif? Now he is one of the big reasons why the Argonauts let go Kevin Huntley. Kevin Huntley was a well-loved and a well-appreciated player for the Toronto Argonauts. This guy Khalif, you know, he plays on the edge, and that edge, you know, is important. Okay, we'll go to the interview with Khalif Mitchell, and this is what he had to say, Mike.
During the offseason, the Argos made a big trade. They traded for Khalif Mitchell from the BC Lions. Khalif decided that he really didn't want to come, but he did show up at training camp. And he did set some ground rules of how the interview process should go. Probably even further than interview, a person-to-person relationship.
More so that I am not eager to change anyone's perception. And more so, a lot of people are wanting to change someone's perception when I'm more accepting of giving you a token to let you have any perception you would like of me. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that's your free token. After that, you're bullying me. So therefore, after that, you've characterized yourself into a whole other class that I don't even want to be in. So I'm accepting of the faults that I have as a man, as a person, as an athlete, and I'm accepting of the fact that those can change with greater actions. But to dismiss or not want those to be shown, that's not who I am. One thing I could bring to the Argos is something that actually I don't think is much besides the fact that I've already been a champ and lost. And, you know, coming to a championship team where all these guys have already won, it's not really much that I can say besides the fact that I know the empty feeling of wanting to be there, and you guys know the fulfillment of being there. So the two paradigms come at the same time. You know, I was getting prepared myself to play Toronto, and now I'm here and they're the champs. And so it's just one of those realities that when you wake up and you look at it, it's like it makes sense, but at the beginning it just didn't make sense at first, you know, because of so many different opportunities. But you have to refine them, and you know, you have to bring it down to a focus, and you just have to be a man about it. You know, I'm growing up as a man. I've only been playing football since 11th grade. I got a full scholarship after 2 years of college football, where people have been playing for 8 years and never could get it. So I'm learning. Football is still new to me, so I'm still growing in football. And to come here and to be under the stewardship of Jim Barker and Coach Chris and Coach Milanovic, I mean, it's great. And to be under the stewardship of these great teammates, I got most of my sacks against Ricky Ray. Now he's my quarterback. I give him a hug every day. I think I wanted to kiss him, but then someone stole that already. You know, the kissing guy is gone, so I'm real sad. But I definitely let him know, you know, like, you're a great quarterback. I have lots of respect for you. You guys even had a picture where I sacked him and I was smiling. But you know what? To be here and to be in the presence of those guys and to know that my offense can produce points and to be over here with a defense that's just locked down, it's a great feeling.
On that, you are Armand Armstead this year. Same number, and you're expected.
He did? He had the same number?
96.
Wow, that's wonderful. It's a good number.
What do you think about this defense? Because this defense doesn't just expect you to run downhill. Armand Armstead, when he was here, he had to pull back into coverage. He had to do a bunch of different things. How complicated is this defense, and how difficult is it difficult to take in? Or
I'm Khalif Mitchell with 96. Armand Armstead is already gone. So I respect the fact that he was here and that he has passed, and he's in the NFL doing great things. And I pray that he just have more blessings. But this time, this year, we don't have the Grey Cup anymore. They've already took it. Perlator took it when they gave us the rings. I knew that when I got mine. See, the thing this team doesn't understand yet is the feeling of knowing that when you were supposed to win, you didn't. Because they did. And I did at one point. So that's what I can bring here. That's the biggest asset I have. Everything else is a plus to me being on this team.
How about the fire you bring? You're a very intense guy, and that intensity is necessary on the football field. Not every player is the same.
Yeah.
So there's a balance, correct?
Yes, sir.
And how do you How do you feel you will create that balance?
Well, I mean, I was so excited to come out here. I haven't slept in 48 hours. 2 days. I haven't got no sleep. I almost fell asleep stretching. But then again, when the whistle was blown and it was time to go, I got tired. But then again, I was like, I'm in football. The sun came out. I can go and play. Man, I went harder and I ran harder and I pushed myself harder. And you know what? That is the first step to something greater than even I don't even know how great it can be, but I know it, with this team and with the team we have, it's going to be something way special.
Go
way
much
special.
Further than you can, than you think you can, and keep going and ignore the pain, ignore the tiredness, and just keep going.
Now you sound like pinball.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who wants the last question? You can't have it. The lady.
Don't put me on the spot, please.
Did you take it out of your mouth? It's awesome, man. You know, it's a good feeling here. There's a lot of great guys here, you know, and I was looking at guys who I told them that I didn't want to come here, and a lot of them didn't understand why I told them that, you know, and I had business opportunities that I let go of to say that I came here, you know, and that's a sacrifice that I was going to take to put beyond just myself in football. But you know what? I love this team enough to put that aside and come out here and not sleep for a whole 2 days and give them 100%. So thank you guys. And more questions to come. And tell Chris Schultz I love him. Have a blessed day, guys. You're welcome.
Well, now are you sure there's...
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Yeah. Khalif Mitchell. Mike. He's my favorite.
Yep.
He's one of my new favorite players. He tells it like it is. He does not, you know, and I think, and I don't want to give up his game or anything, but some of that sharp edge is just, he just throws it out there just to keep you entertained. I think this guy's got a heart of gold down deep, but, you know, the prickly part of him is the fun part of him in my mind. If you take him the right way, you won't have a problem with him.
Yeah. Did you see Off the Record today by any chance?
Not yet.
They had Kackard and Khalif Mitchell on, and they had them
Khalif
both playing
on as well.
Yeah, they had them both playing the piano and all that. It was pretty like they went. You know, it was a nice interview. But I don't know. I was wondering, like, how do you see the East playing out this year? Like, if you were to rank out, by the time the year's done, how do you see the standings in the East?
Well, if Jarrett would pipe up, we could include the Hamilton, the Hammer, into this conversation. But I don't hear Jarrett. I know he's there. I turned on his mic. I'm just wondering whether I should try his phone and see if I can get him that way. I'm going to try his phone while I tell you how I feel about the way the East is going to play out. The East is going to be an interesting division because I believe there's going to be a big surprise, and that big surprise is going to be the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I'm not saying that because I'm calling Jarrett right now. I'm saying that because I believe that Kent Austin is a pretty smart guy who deserves a lot of credit. Are you there, Jarrett?
Hello. Yeah, hey, can you call me on my other phone, Chief?
Oh, sure. Do me a favor. Hang on. Okay, hang up, and I'll call you on the other phone.
Thanks, bye.
You're welcome. Anyway, like I was saying, you know, Kent Austin is a brilliant mind in the Canadian Football League. He truly, truly is. You know, he's a very intelligent man. So I see Hamilton making strides, even though a lot of people suggest that, you know, that might be wishful thinking. And as much as many are considering that the Montreal Alouettes are on a downswing, as you alluded to, I don't think that's true either. I think what you're going to have this year is you're going to have Edmonton having a tough time in the West because of the other three, and Winnipeg mm-hmm. having a hard time in the East because of the other three. And I don't think there'll be a crossover team this year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think the East is in good shape, and you're quite right. You're quite right to, you know, to say that the Argos could be a dynasty, but if not a dynasty, they could be a team, like you said, and I think you said it appropriately, and that is that the Toronto Argonauts could have enough players and enough depth and, you know, contracts signed, and, of course, with Mr. Barker in control of the budget, you know, the cap may not be an issue for them. And you talked about Chris Jones. Now, Jones... the best quality he has is his ability to whip young guys into shape so quickly. You know, last year he didn't know anybody. You know, and people are worried about the defense this year, and I was one of, I'm one of them, you know. But one has to remember that last year he brought a, he put together a pretty good defense in 1 year of guys he didn't know. So, you know, he's ahead of the game as far as, you know, his ability and or knowledge of the team coming in. So you're quite right. He's a brilliant guy. He really is, and he's a really nice guy, and he's a no-nonsense guy. And you're right. I was worried that he was going to go to Montreal. I truly was worried.
So, and I think mean, the you're only reason concerned he didn't... about the defense? I thought...
No, I'm not concerned about the defense. I'm not concerned about anything to do with the Argos other than will I get to my seat in time before they score a touchdown.
Right.
That's my biggest.
Are you going to be at the home opener on Friday?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So they say they have like a big you know, pregame sort of like banner raising thing. Is that do you have any details about that?
What I can say is this about that is they won't be handing out the rings from what I understand. The rings will be there. And yeah, they'll unfurl the banner that basically says they are the 2012 Grey Cup champions, the 100th Grey Cup. Like you said, it has a long history. And, it'll be fun, you know. I'll wave at you if you want. I'll get a sign and I'll write Mike on it so I can say hi to you.
Hey, so what's the feeling in Toronto? Is there any like buzz at all for the team or people looking forward to this year? So there is actually an after effect of what happened last year.
Of course there is, and there will be.
Okay,
there has to be.
So.
No, I think it's going to be a great year for the Argos. It's going to be a great year. You know what? It's going to be a great year for the CFL because of what I said before. And is that Jared? Jared, are you there? Jared, he keeps showing up here, but he doesn't answer.
Okay.
It's going to be the kind of year for the CFL that's going to be a growing year. You know, people talk about the Argonauts, and even my guest, Don Narcisse, said, you know, the league would like to see Toronto have a good team. If Toronto has a good team, you know, it's going to be great because it's going to help the CFL. I don't think that's the case. I think that the case is that the CFL is a great game, and because it's a great game, it will carry the day. There won't be a problem. They'll carry the day. Jared, are you there now?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, say hello to Michael.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jared, how you doing?
Great, you're calling from Minnesota, man, right on. Great football territory.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
And hockey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know Dwayne Rolston personally. He used to play for the Wild.
There you go.
Yeah, good Simcoe boy.
The reason Jarrett's on, Mike, do you have a preference for teams, or are you just a CFL guy?
No, there's three teams I like. I like the Riders, the Argos, and the Ticats.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're in for a real treat because tonight we had Narcisse on, and now I got one of the Box J boys on. Do you know what a Box J boy is?
Yeah, I saw them on the Ticats website. Those are the guys with the kilts and the hard hats on.
There you go,
yeah,
Jared.
Yeah.
That's your cue.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a bunch of fans having a good time.
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry, what
do you want to talk about,
Frank? Last year, though, I'm really, really sad to see what happened.
Hey, we had an offense, but a defense like a pasta colander, man. It was nasty, you know. We'd rack up points, and then we just let's time to change the diapers and poop the bed, right?
Yeah.
Hey, what's that book? You know about that guy that during the day he was a doctor, at night was it Jekyll and Fried? That basically describes Jekyll and Fried.
I don't think we'll see that this year. We might have a couple of dead games, but the Mr. Steinhauer has really got the DBs working their tails off to make sure they're ball hawks. So it could be, I'm optimistic this year. We're gonna field a competitive team for sure.
Are you going to any of the games at Guelph?
Oh, I'm a season ticket holder, my friend. I do some charity work with the team too, so I'm at all the games. Yep.
All right.
Do you have a question of him about the Tie Cats? I'll start with saying, what a game against Winnipeg.
Yeah, you know, you could phrase that and, like, you could say, what a game in amazement, or what a game in, oh, like, crap, by the end of it, you're almost cheering for Winnipeg to, like, do something, right? Because you knew it was clearly a B, the B team playing the A team, you know, like, and even when the Ticats B team came on in the second half, it was just, you know, we were hungry, and to Guelph's credit, that's a brand new field turf field, so it's a $5 million field. Top notch, you know. It's just as good as any NCAA field or NFL field or CFL new field turf CFL field. So, the Tie Cats are hungry. My only fear is that with the win, these two wins, they're going to come into Toronto with a bit of swagger psychologically, and I think the Boatmen might. I'm hoping for a close game.
Well, the motivation is going to be there because when they unfurl that, you know, that cloth that says, you know, great
the banner
chant,
for sure.
You know, it's going to fire up. You know, the Argos were smart enough to say, you know, we're not going to give the guys the rings at that game.
Right.
At least, minimize it. They're avoiding the mistake that the Toronto Blue Jays made, which was they made a big deal about nothing. And then all it did was motivate everybody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hoping for a good game, and not because we're friends, Jarrett. I really do believe the Hamilton Tiger Cats are going to be the surprise of the league this year.
I'd like to see second place, you know. I don't know, though, but I would really love to see the playoffs. But where are we going to play for a playoff game? Are we going to stay at Guelph, or are we going to come to the Dome and play a playoff game in there? You know, like, Guelph's only a 14,000-seat stadium. Can you imagine seeing a professional football game in a 14,000-seat stadium, Mike?
Oh, my God. When I first saw it, I thought it was a high school football stadium, to be honest with you.
Well, compared to U.S. standards, it is.
Yeah.
You got to understand, our football up here is...
And a small high school to boot. And a small high school to boot.
You know, I mean, we have 10,000-seat university hockey stadiums, but... minor league football down in the South is embraced like minor league hockey up here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have kids in skates when their feet come out of the womb. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the dad already has skates on them. So, and football, it's embraced later when high school kids realize they can pick up a lot of chicks wearing a football helmet.
Yeah.
But no, it's...
And then that's the motivation?
No, I'm kidding. Of course,
that's the motivation.
You know, the biggest football community now is minor league football community is the West and Quebec, right? Yeah. Those are the ones that are the football factories. And you know, when a university in British Columbia has a Division II NCAA football team, mm-hmm. You know, like I mean, that those are the ones that are embracing the sport. Mind you, you know, Ontario has some good high school, Toronto, Hamilton. Yeah, the university ball for sure, but every football stadium in Canada, university, is like 5,000 people.
Right.
Well, that it
so
is
what, do you,
it
what
is.
Do you think about the new Ticats Stadium? Because I've read a lot of the people on the blogs and stuff, so they're kind of ripped it, but I thought it was actually kind of nice. I don't know, what are your thoughts on it?
I think it is. We're getting our money's worth. It's a $150 million stadium.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, state of the art in terms of technology, broadcast facilities, technology, serving facilities, washrooms. God knows we needed that. But
especially
you know,
all that beer you drink.
Yeah, absolutely. We ain't heard of paint. That's for sure. You know, and it has the ability for expansion. So you're getting what you want, what you get for $150 million. If they want the bells and whistles, mm-hmm. you know, you'd get a $250 million stadium like Investors Group Field in Winnipeg. You know, they went to Seattle, for Investors Group, they went to Seattle and checked the angles of the seats and replicated it so it would amplify noise. They did all that stuff. I think what we're going to get in Hamilton is another great venue to watch football.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be
the sneaky thing with that too, and what you're bringing up Winnipeg is that Winnipeg's paying like $4.5 million per year on a mortgage on the stadium.
Yeah.
Whereas the Ticats on the flip side only have to pay like about, I think about $450,000 on the lease, which is like a huge bargain as far as like sports, you know, stadium leases go. And I just think that, you know, your owner, Bob Young, with all the money that he, all the hits he took in the wallet the last, you know, 6-7 years, I think it's nice that for the next 5 or 6 years, he's going to be making, you know, quite a bit of cash. So,
well, and with the new television agreement with TSN, each team will get close to the player's salary.
Exactly.
From the television agreement. Yeah,
yep.
each team.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cause
which means yep. If you only get 14,000 people coming into the stadium, at least it's profit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And
well,
the Box
work,
J,
right?
If the Box J boys are there, you'll get another $10,000 in beer sales.
Right.
Absolutely.
And
beer and
the Ticats were geniuses. Like, the way they did their new stadium with only having about, I think it's like 21,000 actual general seats, by reducing the actual supply, they can increase the ticket prices, and, you know, they're going to have guaranteed sellouts for the next 5+ years just because of capacity alone. But I think from a financial standpoint, they've been really smart. Like, the way they handled the whole thing, it was a genius move on Bob Young and Scott Mitchell's part. They did a great job.
Okay, Mike, before we start running away and talking about how wonderful it was, there is an elephant in the room, and I'll wait till Jarrett brings it up, or I'll bring it up.
Well, what the thing is, the Hamilton fans are quite fickle. If you don't have a winning team,
okay.
they don't come out. But the other thing is, you know, they reduced that numbers because what they saw was the income coming from TV contracts, and they also followed the Montreal model, which I agree totally with you, Mike. You reduce the availability of seating, then the demand goes up, and that's where your revenue is generated, right? So.
Exactly.
You know,
have empty seats. You don't have empty seats. You don't lose a TV game.
That's right. That's the thing. But I'm optimistic that if we can keep Mr. Austin around and he keeps using his mojo and some changes are made, you know, upstairs, we're going to have a competitive team for a long time to come. I mean, I'm a Ticats fan. I can't not cheer for my boys, right?
You guys got rid of Bob Obilovich. That was your problem the whole time, you know.
That's debatable. You're entitled to your opinion on that way, but Bob has a lot of connections down south and everything. But I can't speak too much to that because I'm not an expert and I'm not on the inside of the team, right?
Okay.
I thought Bob did well in bringing in players, but he was asked to step aside, as far as I know, and. What's being done now is they brought in Mr. Austin, and he's got a vision. And I've talked to players who are currently playing that have played for Coach Austin, and he's a player's coach. If anyone can get a team playing for him, it's Ken Austin. So I like what I see so far.
Now,
plus
both the
guys
game
had like a mulligan season. You know, you don't really have to like they don't really have to do anything. They just use this year as like. Test guys out, try different things. It's all just a rehearsal for the real season, which is 2014, when they bring in, you know, the new stadium. So it all played out perfectly for them, and I think that's why Austin probably even took the job in the first place, because he knew the first year was a mulligan. So he's like, this is perfect. I can just walk in, tinker with the roster, change up guys, you know, and then when it really matters the next year, I'm ready to go. So. And they will be Grey Cup contenders in 2014.
That's an interesting year perspective, in the sense that use it as a rebuilding year. But I'll tell you, the way these guys were playing against Winnipeg, and I'm in. It was a pee wee team versus a professional team. But I think you're going to see a contender this year. Like tinkering, yes, and retooling, yes, but. The defense definitely needed retooling, definitely contender this year, Mike. It's. I think the people going to Guelph are going to have a hell of a good time because they're going to be seeing lots of fun football.
Well, I've talked about how good Hamilton is, and I firmly believe it. But I'm not basing it on that game against Winnipeg because the game against Winnipeg. Remember, they had a problem in the dressing room. A player. They had a real problem in the dressing room, and that is somebody was let go and disappeared for reasons that are very embarrassing. And I can't believe that that didn't...
Yeah.
What? What?
I didn't
Mike,
hear
you
this.
You want to tell him about it? You want to tell him about it, Mike?
No, go ahead, Frank. You probably have more details than I do.
No, I don't have more details than you do, buddy. What I have is I know that a player was suspended, and I know he was suspended for something that in the dressing room might have made people more embarrassed and distracted. I think that was the biggest factor why they played so poorly. Not because, you know.
What happened?
Okay, it doesn't matter. Because I don't want to talk about this kind of stuff other than what it has to do with football. A player gets suspended because of something he does that has nothing to do with football. And that affects players in a strange way. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? I don't think Winnipeg had their head on straight when they played Hamilton that day.
Wow. Okay.
What's wrong with Winnipeg? Why does, like, the more I've looked into them, they just seem to be like that stumbling, bumbling. Kind of just everything. Like, everything they do was just like a mistake, or even like when they made it to the Grey Cup in 2011, it seemed like it was an accident. Have you ever been to Winnipeg? I've been there a couple times. It's just even the city. Like, I have an uncle who's like a retired police officer there, and he just even tells me every day, he's like, I don't even understand why this city exists. It's ridiculous, you know. But like,
easy.
I feel,
holy crap! Come
no,
on,
like, had the weather
bad.
Not
gotta
been so terrible, and
I do have to say, guys, get off that train because Winnipeg.
Listen to Winnipeg's credit. It was my first Grey Cup, and I had an absolute blast there. They know how to throw a Grey Cup.
Yeah. What's wrong with Winnipeg is what's wrong with every losing team, which I'm going to put Hamilton of last year into the same little ball of wax. Gentlemen, we talked about Obilovich. Everybody gets a kick at the can, right? At some point, somebody has to realize that somebody can't get a grip on it. Well, never mind Obilovich's history, because that's irrelevant. It's about the future of the team. Obilovich, for whatever reason, made some mistakes that were critical. He hired a coach he shouldn't have hired, right? He made mistakes. So when you get a guy who makes mistakes, it's like the way, and I'm going to put it down to coaching, okay? Same way you coach. Chris Jones is a good coach, and Obilovich is a good coach because they're no-nonsense guys. Show me what you can do. Oh, you can't do it? See you later. And that's what has to happen from ownership. And sometimes even ownership has to be shown the door. Because losing is something that happens because people can't win. It's the absence of success. And if you don't have success, you shouldn't be holding the wheel. So you give a guy, we've seen it with the Leafs. You give a guy control of the wheel, right? If he can't make it work in 2 or 3 years, if you can't see progress in 2 or 3 years, and by progress I mean a steady, you know, like we saw with Barkley when he took over. You know? This is the way it works. In BC, when Benavides is there, you know, and you got the GM there in BC is a pretty smart cookie. I mean, teams that win, win. Teams that lose, lose. And teams that lose, the people who run the team should be shown the door. Don't be afraid to show them the door. Bring somebody else in until somebody figures out how to win. You gotta put your money on a horse that can run, not a horse that can, you know, trip.
So you're in the fire Joe Macca camp, I'm guessing? Because that's all I hear from all the Winnipeg fans out here.
Yeah, you know what? It has to happen. You can't be a failure. You can't be a failure too many years in a row. Because you know what? Hey, let's look at it this way. If I lose and I don't get fired, what motivation do I have?
Yeah, but, you know, they always talk about he went to the Grey Cup in 2011, you know. So
that's sort
of his...
But I think you defined it, they got in by default.
Yeah, like, I'm sure Jared will appreciate this. Like, I felt like the only reason they won the East Final against the Ticats was the weather. Like, had it not been so terribly cold and windy, I thought if it had been, like, a nice day out, the Ticats probably would have held their own and maybe even pulled it out.
Yeah, but when you're playing in this league, you got to be ready for that. Coaches, getting back to what you said, Frank, they got to prepare their team for that shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought Marcel Belfiore was a good coach. I felt like he had, like, two more years with a couple changes on defense. I thought they were close, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what were your thoughts on him?
Let me ask you a question. It has to do with what you just said right now, Mike. You get two good dancers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put them together. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to perform a great dance because they just might not have the rhythm they need. You can take a great coach. You can take a great GM. But if they don't dance right, it ain't going to happen for you. You know,
yeah.
And that's part of the failure aspect. I mean,
mm-hmm.
to me, I'm a no-nonsense fan. If the Argos suck, I'm going to say they suck. And I'm going to say get rid of the people who are running the team. Right now, why do we want to, on the flip side, why do you want to keep Milanovic? Why do you want to keep Jones? Because they're good at what they're doing and they're successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same token, why should you be loyal to somebody who can't win? Give them a chance somewhere else. Give them a break. Let them go. You know, it's just in 2 or 3 years, a GM or a coach can establish their credibility and ability to be a winner. They don't need more than that.
It always comes down to personnel. Like, you look at Marcel Belfiore. Like, I feel like because he had Kevin Glenn, that's what held him back. Had he had Henry Burris, I think the Ticats, I really felt that way. Because we look at Joe Mack and Paul Alpolice. The only reason that they struggled and they had the issues is because of Buck Pierce and the issues they had at quarterback. You look at the Argos, they get Ricky Ray, it changes everything. Had Milanovic had Cleo Lemon, we wouldn't be calling him the offensive genius that we call him today, right? Let's be honest.
Can I throw a manhole in the middle of that conversation?
All right.
Do you think here's the thing about, and this is what I believe about good coaches and good GMs, okay? New coaches and new GMs, they pick the team to coach. So, you know, what are you laughing for? You don't want a lemon on your team?
Oh,
you don't want
only if my Long Island iced tea.
There you go. Now, listen, guys, seriously.
All right.
It's not just about Ricky Ray. It's about you bring a coach in who says, "I want a quarterback. You want me to coach you?" A good coach has power. A guy who's going to, like Milanovic, isn't going to come here unless he knows he's getting a real quarterback. You know,
right.
You know, we're talking about Barker
yeah.
and Jones have history. They have a long mm-hmm. history. Calgary, they won together. You know, Milanovic has a long history with Jones. Montreal, and a little bit he mm-hmm. played for Barker. These are people who knew each other. They understand what they need to do. These are guys mm-hmm. who dance well together. You know, just because Milanovic has a bald head doesn't mean he's not a good coach.
Oh,
do you understand what I'm saying? No. Do you understand
okay.
what I'm saying? Him having a bald head has nothing to do with how good a coach he is. And Barker?
Okay, so, like, look, Frank, sorry to cut you up, but you just kind of opened a little Pandora's box there with the whole bringing up Barker and Jones. Like, wasn't that whole offseason last year with the Argos completely shady? Like, they had the tampering charge to get Chris Jones from Calgary. And then they had that crazy deal with Edmonton, which everyone claims is because, you know, the Eskimos owe David Braley money. So apparently they got a side deal and just gave him Ricky Ray. So
I think Ray's worth the money.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, like the only reason they got him is because the Eskimos owed Braley, like, a ton of cash.
Are you telling me there aren't side deals and boardroom deals done in sports?
But
is this
I mean,
the
like
first
that,
one that's ever happened?
Yeah, but have you ever seen one that was that, like at least when they do them, they make a trade or make a deal that at least could look plausible. Like, okay, people could say maybe that's a real trade. They traded Ricky Ray for Steven Giles and a kicker. Like, think about that. Like, Steven Giles isn't even in the league anymore. Like, that's the most ridiculous trade I've ever seen. Like, that was,
it doesn't always make sense. There are a lot of ridiculous trades that are made in sports that are inexplicable. Not all of them are fixes or bartering.
Okay.
Or hey, you know what? You want me to tell you of a trade in hockey that was done exactly the same way it sounds like yours was?
Okay, which one?
Boston Bruins. They shipped Ray Bourque to Colorado for the concession rights at the stadium.
What?
Are you unaware of that? Are you really unaware of that?
I mean, I'm not really a hockey fan, so I don't know.
I'm just telling you, it's not something, you know, the guy that owns the Bruins runs the league, and he runs it to make money, and he runs it to his advantage. The Bruins didn't make it to where they were because they were the best team to make it there. They got help. They got help.
Yeah.
They got lots of help. In sports is, you know, thank goodness hockey isn't bet on much. Otherwise, there would be a problem. The league that we talked about at the beginning of this program, Mike, that brought you to the CFL, the NFL is probably one of the straightest leagues in sports only because of all the betting that's done.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
That's what keeps it clean, you know, and that's what keeps, you know, that's what keeps everything above board. You know, what did it take for the NFL referees to get off strike? To have them come to the bargaining table and finally come to an agreement with the NFL. One bad pass in an end zone that created a winner that shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
That's what solved everything. It solved everything. Everything got solved.
Could you imagine if the CFL had replacement referees, like with what the referees are now?
They're still
the worst thing in the history of sports.
We go to a football game and a lacrosse game would break out, for God's sake.
Seriously.
So, Frank and Mike, Friday's game.
About the crack about the referees.
Yeah.
By the
Friday's
way.
Game. Who do you think's gonna win and why?
It's the team.
Oh, did you hear my wife, Frank? Say it again.
Say it again, Matt.
Yeah, you got to sleep with that.
Fin. That's the problem he has. He sleeps with an Argo fin.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, one time, I want to say something right now, but that's the one time that a Hamilton... Never mind. figure it out. I'll let you figure it out. I'll let you figure it out. No, you know, it's really important that this game be attended by as many as possible because... I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart, guys. This is going to be one of the best games of the season, and it's going to be the first game. It's going to be one of the best games.
You think so, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, last year, Hamilton had a chance to at least smell the playoffs. They came into Toronto. Toronto insulted them by dressing third freaking stringers.
And we lost.
And Hamilton lost. You don't think Hamilton's going to remember that?
Oh, they
I remember. We were there.
That
hurt.
That was a great game, though.
A great game.
And the atmosphere at the stadium with all the Ticat fans there, that was amazing. That was one of the best games of the year.
And I'm telling you that this one that's coming up on Friday is going to be one of the best games of the year. And for those of you that are listening, please come by 134B, the Argo Lifer section, where I know Jarrett will come, where we will make sure that we will spank him when he shows up. And teach him a lesson. You're coming to the game, right, Jared?
Yeah. I'm up in. I'll be up in 2:15. I think our tickets are.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
up
come
with
down
the boom. Boomhauer sisters. Oh, I will. I'll see you at Bedali's too, won't I, Frank?
Well, you know.
You got to go to that. You got to go to.
Go to Slipperless.
Yeah, you got to go to Shoeless Joe's.
Slipperless. Yeah, Slipperless.
That's right. I'm going to pop by there after the. I'm going to pop by there after the game.
Dude, I'm going to try. Aaron's coming to the game, and we're going to try and do the show live from Shoeless Joe's.
That's funny.
I know one reason why we won't do it live. If the Argos lose.
Oh, God. Yeah. Too many. Yeah. I think we all know what's going to happen. Yeah.
They better not lose. I wanted to. And, Mike, you can call in and ask any of the players that are there a question, and we'll get it answered for you.
All right.
How's that?
I'd really
say too, go ahead, Jared. Sorry.
Thanks, Mike. I'd love to see a competitive game.
Yeah.
And that's all I want. I want to see a back and forth game with some crazy defense played on both sides. You know, lots of blitzes, lots of action in the the offense doing some spectacular stuff. Like this market. The Toronto market needs that. If they, you know, they got, mind you, it was half the Sky Dome was filled with people from out of province for the Grey Cup, but they kind of sent the benchmark. And if this team can keep its mojo going, we'll start to see at least the lower bowl full.
Real quick, For those of you that have lost our signal, it's because, it's probably too late. You went on a little too long. Just for the folks who all of a sudden were cut off in mid-sentence, Jared, I was trying to get into them that they can listen to the repeat, and it'll have the rest of the conversation that we're having right now. I didn't get a chance to get that in. It'll be a great game, and I'm sorry to have interrupted. I was hoping that I could sneak that in before the show ran out. The live show ended. We're now the taped version will include this part of the conversation. I just want you guys to know that.
Okay.
So, Jared, it was a real problem getting you on the air.
I don't know if it's my mic or what.
Well, I think Mike's not the problem. Why are you blaming Mike?
No. Try the veal. He's here all week. No, my microphone, you turd.
I understood exactly what you meant. Yeah, no, you know, I don't know. Yeah, because I kept. You mean you could hear me when I was talking to you?
I heard you from when you were talking to Narcisse about the charity work he does and the football camps and.
Oh, okay, so it's your mic.
I was trying
it's
to get mic. On.
It's your mic. Because I turned your mic on, but nothing came. You know. There was a light on, but there was nobody home.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything about that.
Why not? You're a Ticat fan.
Stop it now. Listen, gentlemen, in all honesty.
That's why they have one-way streets in Hamilton, because they're not really good at traveling in both directions.
But a bump. Well, it's my last day of school tomorrow. I'm saying goodbye to my little students tomorrow.
Are you finally gonna pass? You're the oldest student in that.
No,
school,
all my kids are gonna pass. Some of them are graduating. Some of them are moving on to other grades in my program. But
I should actually hit the hay.
Mike, nice talking to you, man.
It's a breath of fresh air to talk
to someone from the States who actually gives the CFL a chance. We love it up here. It's our little secret, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to get in touch with me, you can email the show at candidfranklive@gmail.com. Same way the show is spelled. One word, candidfranklive@gmail.com, and I'd be more than glad to hook you up. Mike, it was a real pleasure having you on.
Thank you, sir.
And I didn't know whether it was a crank call at first when you said you were from Minnesota, but I'll check to see.
He knows his football, man.
He sure does. I don't know if 651 is a Minnesota area code, but we'll find out after the show.
One more thing, Frank. I'd be happy to be on next week. We got some great stuff happening at Alumni Stadium with our CFL Fans Fight Cancer group and the Tiger Cats. So I'd be happy to talk about that next week if that's okay with you.
Why don't you tell us? Yeah, no, absolutely. Why don't you tell us what's happening so that people can get an advance warning or maybe even take part? We got time. We can roll for a while here. The show's not over unless I turn off the mic.
Well, right on. I'll just say this and get off the
go
air.
Ahead.
Just found out that CFL Fans Fight Cancer is a fan group that helps raise money for cancer charities across the league. And we just found out that this year we're going to be the Ron Lancaster chapter in Hamilton's going to be helping Hope Spring of Guelph and Wellwood of Hamilton. By raising money through a seat cushion sale at the second game and then a scarf sale at either the second to the last game or the last game of the season. And a portion of the proceeds will go to these two charities. Last year we raised over $7,000 for these charities at a grassroots level, and these charities are all volunteer-based, so it goes to actually helping people with cancer and deal with the disease.
So, Mike, I've got your telephone number. I'll call you sometime off air and find out who the heck you are. And all right, buddy. It really was
former
a pleasure.
Player. I'd say it a former player. He knows too much about the league.
Yeah, he kind of knows too much. You're right. He does know too much. But that doesn't matter. All we care about is that he's another interested CFL fan.
There's a lot of diehard CFL fans here in the States. You guys would be surprised. There's quite a few.
Well, listen, if you guys ever want to come up to Hamilton, the Box Jays are happy to host a crew from Minnesota with beers and food at the pregame and enjoying the game.
Sounds great, man. I plan to be there in 2014. Absolutely.
Now, Mike, how hyped are you and how aware are you of I said there was an elephant in the room when it came to Hamilton and about the stadium. Do you know what the elephant is?
I thought it had to do with the whole debate on the
the waterfront
yep.
site towards the site out in the suburbs. So I mean, Jared, if you're, I don't know if you're still on the line, but what was your
yeah.
what was your position on the whole where the stadium should have been put?
Well, Hamilton municipal government has a history for being a dysfunctional family. It's just like they won a new car, like this dysfunctional family won a new car, and
mm-hmm.
they just had to choose the color and the wheels, and they couldn't do that, right?
Yeah.
These guys got a $150 million stadium for $50 million, and they just had to pick a good place for it, and they couldn't
right.
do that. And that was just, it was the most embarrassing thing. I live in Toronto.
Okay.
I'm a school teacher in Toronto, but I grew up south of Hamilton. And it was just the most embarrassing thing that these parties, and I'm not only saying the municipal government, but the Ticats as well, they
mm-hmm.
couldn't come together and find either the Lakeshore or Confederation Park or near the 403 like they were talking, or up on the mountain near the big box stores with all the parking lots.
Yep.
They just couldn't bring it together. I'm cool with it being at Ivor Wynne, but
mm-hmm.
there's also talking of no parking near the stadium, and
wow.
we're going to have almost a kilometer walk from...
Wow.
A city park where there'll be parking to the game, which is unfortunate for the elderly and people with
yeah.
disabilities.
And
right?
and that's the elephant in the room.
Wow.
Parking. Yeah.
Parking oh and they've taken away you're being an American, you're well aware of tailgate parties, and Hamilton is one of the most active in that regard, and I'm going to make Jared go to bed in a bad mood. You know, they basically with the keeping of the stadium at Ivor Wynne, they basically killed any opportunity of having any kind of tailgate. And like he says, not just the tailgating a kilometer away, the parking as well. So you know, apparently you were saying before that they're going to offer buses for the tailgaters.
In speaking with this, I've talked with the Ticats because I have a bit of a I'm a bit of a representative for the tailgate community,
mm-hmm.
And a voice for them. And you know, they kind of just bounced off me. One of the staff in over beers bounced off me. What if we had it at I can't even remember the park's name, but we had it at this park that's the closest point is 800 meters from the stadium, but really it's about a kilometer walk from the stadium. And we did a fan march. And I said, a fan march is great, but people with toddlers, people with the elderly folks with
people
walkers,
full of beer.
People full of beer, you know, these folks marching down the street, it's the logistics of getting an authorized march permit, because we'd be, you know, you'd have 5,000 people blocking traffic, and you don't want them going staggered, because good God, someone get hit by a car, and then that's the end
yeah.
of the everything, right?
Okay.
So it's they did talk about a fan march. I strongly recommended that if you're going to do that, you need to have buses on standby to take
mm-hmm.
people down who, you know,
don't
over the
walk.
Game that need it.
Who
yeah,
don't
that can't, or can't.
Walk.
You know.
No, but it's also, Jared, it's about don't want to walk, because
yeah.
you're just creating another reason, not another reason, but you're creating a reason for someone not to go to the game.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, the other alternatives they had were. The parking lot's down by DeFasco. Yeah. And DeFasco is kind of Pittsburgh. No, it's
wow.
that's where the steel mills are.
Yeah.
So, like I said to him, I said, you got to be effing kidding me. You're going to think people are not going to tailgate down there
yeah.
unless you want them to wear a gas mask. Because of all the soot and the pollution.
Yeah.
Right? So that's where they did, you know, the stadium itself, the logistics of it and the actual stadium they're building, I think is going to be a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
But logistically, tailgating will work, but where will it work? It's going to happen at a park, a kilometer away, but... You know, will NFL fans walk a kilometer to the stadium? Yeah, I probably bet from the farthest corner of Rich Stadium's parking lot to the stadium, it's probably a kilometer. But, you know, people don't see it that way because they're walking through the streets and they're doing that stuff. So we'll just have to see.
I hope for the best.
I just want to see my games. I just want to see my football.
And you want to see, but it's also the fan experience. You know, that's the one thing that the NFL does well. And you know, it's less about the game. It's more about the event.
It's
you
the
know.
Event. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's the event that happens, and you've got to make it. You've got to make it, you know, enjoyable and realistic. You know.
Yeah, and Mike, I'll tell you something interesting, because in Hamilton, tailgating is relative. The whole tailgating culture, this whole, you know, the event outside the sport is a relatively new thing. I mean, people would go out for dinner and go to the hockey game or go to a sports bar and watch the hockey game, but there was never an event around it, right? NASCAR, yeah. NFL football, always a big event, right?
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, and the tailgating is just kind of being embraced.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, the Box J Boys have been doing it for years, 15 years. But
right.
The way, you'll love this, the way we tailgate in Hamilton is the Canadian way. And what I mean by that is you won't see any beer bottles, you won't see any liquor bottles, and you won't see any beer cans. Everyone drinks out of solo cups, because the rule is this. If you drink out of a solo cup and the police cannot see that you have open alcohol in public, they don't bother you. Right,
wow.
We clean up the we leave our garbage bags all by the garbage cans in Hamilton, right? That's why we're allowed to do it. That's why it wasn't allowed at the professional soccer games, the TFC games. They tried to allow tailgating, but there was fights and everything. At our tailgates, there's kids. Yeah, there's kids playing football with their parents. We're having a good time. Music's cranked, beers are flowing, but you know what? Everyone's there for a good time, and fans from other teams are welcome. Well, I don't know if you ever have you ever been to our Labor Day tailgate party, Frank, with the buses and the 80-pound pig
no.
thing we
no.
we have for the Argo fans.
I went to one game back. You won't believe this. Back in the early 80s.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's the last time I was at a tailgate party in Hamilton. And that was when we were walking on the seats were aluminum, and you could hear them.
Yeah.
You could hear them when you're walking on the, you know.
Well, that's fiberglass. You know,
whatever. I'm trying to remember. I just remember they were very noisy, rickety almost.
Yeah, back
in the 80s. And I went to one game one of those games, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, you have to be responsible. You know, nobody here is promoting drinking and driving. That's the last thing that anyone here is going to promote. I'm a lucky man because I have a wife who doesn't drink. So, you know, I drive to the event. She drives home.
I'm a lucky man because I have the GO train.
Yeah, well.
I take trips.
You know, there you go. There you go.
Anyways, gentlemen.
In closing, on that note,
I'm going to go, Frank.
Hey, Jarrett, it was nice of you to hang around for another 15 minutes.
No problem. I enjoyed the conversation. And, Mike, the invitation, Frank knows he's got a standing one. The invitation is standing. If you find me on Facebook, Jarrett Harris on Facebook, like me, and I'll keep in touch, man, okay?
All right. Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
You too. And take care, Frank. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
Tosky Wee Wee!
Make me go pee-pee. Hamilton fans, Mike, what can I say?
Yeah. I wanted to just, like, before we were done, like, piggyback off of what Jared was talking about as far as the Toronto, like, attendance and, like, the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make it clear, because I know people are going to hear this on Rouge Radio, but people have this misconception about Argo fans, like, they never supported the team. The thing everyone has to remember is the last time the Argos were an elite contender type team was 2007. And if you actually go back, and I recommend people to go to like Wikipedia if they have time and go to the 2007 season and look at the attendance numbers. The Argos were averaging over 30,000 a game. In fact, they had a game against Winnipeg where over 40,000 showed up. So people think like the Argos had never been supported. No, it's just that the Argos have been terrible since 08. It's just that, you know, they went from having a nice run from about 2004 to 2007. And the fan support was there. So now that they're a lead again and people know that they're a championship contender, I think we're going to see a huge upsurge in attendance. And if they can maintain this, I think the Argos could actually get to a place where they're averaging around 30,000 plus. So I think the future is bright for the Argos.
Yeah, no, and you're right. And the reason I'll say you're right and why it's important that there be 30,000 fans there, there'll be more than half the stadium full, because it not being at least half full makes it a real cavern to watch a game in. And it's the only downside of watching the Argos that I had last year was the, you know, the cavernous empty seats, which is a turnoff. I have to be honest. It doesn't help the game. You know, again, it's all about fan experience. And the truth is, the same thing can be said for the Blue Jays, whom this year started. It took them 30 games to win 10, and then they won 10 in a row. You know, and all of a sudden now the upper ring is full of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, Toronto's not accustomed to having winners. They don't necessarily, you know, we've always talked about Montreal and other cities that don't support losers. Toronto's not any different. And your point is well taken and well made. Okay, Mike, in conclusion, again, it was a pleasure having you on. I hope you enjoyed the program. I don't know how did you end up listening to this show? What made you aware of it?
No, I've actually been following Rouge Radio for about, I think, since 2011. And you just happened to be partnered with them, and then that's what led me to you, was once coming through RougeRadio.com.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad that we hooked up, and I'm glad you're enjoying what we're doing here. You know, we're celebrating the CFL. I make no bones about being an Argo fan, but I'm an even bigger CFL fan. Again, I repeat this for all the listeners out there. You know, we're one giant family, and what's, you know, and this is going to be an Argo saying, you know, high tide raises all boats, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that is what I truly believe. And I love the players that are here, Canadians and the Americans. I enjoy the game live. It's a great game to watch live. And most importantly, I'm buying low and it's not expensive. And by the way, anybody who wants to buy season tickets, through the Argo Lifers, you get a discount, and let me say it's a big discount. So, you know, you can get it through us. I think it's almost half price for season tickets.
Okay. And can I just say something real quick for the American viewers? Because I know a lot of people tune into Rouge Radio, so I just want to say if you're trying to tune in to any CFL games, the majority, if not all, are on ESPN3. Also, I believe NBC Sports Network is actually going to be picking up, I think, about 55 games, including tomorrow night's opener. And then ESPN2.
I guess Jason sent you the same email. I guess Jason sent you the same email.
Okay. No, I was reading off the web. Because there's a lot of people who always ask me all the time, well, how can I see the game? So I just wanted to put that out there. And
no, please.
They're also on demand on tsn.ca/CFL. You can go there. All the games are on demand. In fact, all the games from last year are still on demand. So whenever any games come on, well, if you can't get to ESPN, you can go there and they have them all available. So for anyone out there who's trying to figure out how to get it, that's how you do it.
Yep. We're lucky. We just have to turn on the TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But thank you for that. I enjoy the American perspective. Yeah, Mike, it was a pleasure meeting you. Have a great night.
You too.
All right. Mike, whatever his last name is, don't know. But we'll find out eventually, and we'll see. Obviously, he's a big fan of Rouge Radio, and Rouge Radio does stream this program. You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streamed on Rouge Radio. I think we're doing it live now, so I assume that Rouge Radio also dropped as well as Blog Talk Radio. But if you want, or if you know, you can listen to the whole program. The people who listen to the repeat, you'll know that you're listening to what others may not have had the chance to do that listen to it live. I want to end it on we talk about the CFL and I talk about the greatness of the CFL and the compassion of the players and everybody involved in the CFL. Part of my enjoyment of the CFL is that we try to be, and I try to be reflective of the CFL. And this is a contact I made with the CFL. We'll end the show tonight with, I believe, football players are very cerebral in the sense that I don't want to use the word religious, but they are spiritual.
I'm Quincy Hart, and I started I Believe in Me because I saw there was a need for us to believe in ourselves more than life teaches us to believe in ourselves. People believe in negative statistics, therefore they become statistics. Elementary school students and middle school students are failing and not passing their tests. High school students are dropping out at an alarming rate. The unemployment rate is at an all-time high. With self-belief, self-confidence, and an overall positive self-image, we can fix a lot of these problems that we're facing. With the positive self-image, that elementary school student and that middle school student will succeed in class and be promoted to high school. That high school student will complete high school and graduate from college. That individual that's unemployed will find a job or create work for themselves. I believe in me, therefore I have the confidence to believe in you. I believe that you will help me fulfill my desires according to the younger generation. They label Generation X. Teach them the self-confidence they need to become Generation Excellent. I believe in me. I believe in you. Join me on this mission.
Thank you for listening. Friday, hopefully, live after the game from Shoeless Joe's. You'll be having an opportunity to listen to us from there. First, it'll be our first remote. We hope it'll be successful. If it doesn't work, it'll be a great tape show, I promise. Thank you for tuning in. This is Candid Frank Live, streamed on Rouge Radio. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jarrett. And most of all, thank you, Don Narcisse, Hall of Famer, great football player, wonderful person. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope to see you again on the other side when we're back again, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next show, Friday from Shoeless Joe's.